I begin a new series with all of us today on this very first Sunday of March called Our Journey. So would you take your Bibles today and go to the book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, and as you're turning there here, let me greet all the campuses that are joining with us today. I'm sure you've already had a great day of worship, a time together there at every location that Love and Truth gathers in. Now we're getting ready to go into the Word of God, and over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at this journey that God's called us into that we refer to as Christianity. How many of you have found this to be true, that a lot of times when we get ready to go on a trip or go on a journey, we're more concerned about the destination than we are the journey? Anybody? You found that to be right? I mean, especially if you're a type A personality kind of guy, you or gal, you kind of lay it out and you know how far it is from here to wherever you're going, and it's all about getting there as quick as you can. And when somebody says, "I got to go to the bathroom," it just throws your whole world off. And then when they say they've got to go to the bathroom twice, you just really have to, you know, pray a lot about that because it's really messed you up in that sense. And so, you know, and what happens to us is that we miss out on. I can remember when I was a kid and, you know, moving into my teens and whatever with my family. I can remember my mom and dad talking about, "Oh, you ought to look at the countryside. Isn't it pretty?" And I'm a kid, you know, I'm going, "Just get me there. You know, give me a comic book. Give me, you know," that's for the days of all the electronic gadgets. I didn't care about looking at the scenery. I just wanted to be there and to get there. And yet what I found in our journey with the Lord, that it really is more about the journey that is important. And so as we begin to look at that over the past several years, we just begin to say, you know what, let's kind of highlight some of these aspects of life that we're all going through. Now, let me say this to you. How many of you have ever gone back to the old home place, or you've ever gone back to one of those things or one of those places that you went to as a child? Anybody ever had that happen? I can remember I grew up in Africa. We left there when I was 7, then we went back to where I was born when I was 13. And I can remember how small everything looked. You understand what I mean by that? How many of you know when you're a little kid, everything's huge? I can remember houses were massive and all these things. And then I went back, and the path that led him, remember, I lived in the jungle, the path that led from our house to the school and to the other homes on the mission station, in my mind, they were like 20 feet wide. When I got there, they were about 3 feet wide. All right? Things are different when you go back. But here's what's going to be happening over the next few weeks. We're going on this journey together, and some of you are going to be at a different point in the journey than somebody else is. Maybe today what I'm going to talk about, you started that process many years ago. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Wherever you are on the journey that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, always make sure that you allow yourself to go back. Always give yourself the opportunity to go back and to revisit part of the journey that maybe you've already traversed, maybe you've already gone through, because here's what I know is that you find new insight and you find new wisdom and new understanding from the Lord as you allow Him to take you back to some places that you used to be. Andre Crouch wrote a song years ago that said, "Take me back, dear Lord, to that place where I first met you." And so some of us need to understand that again. So would you take your Bibles or your whatever your smart device is that you have the Bible on, and go to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, the fourth chapter, beginning in the 18th verse, says this: "As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen." Now, he just tells us, here's what they do for a living. They are fishermen. Now, watch what Jesus did. He says, "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, look at that next verse. At once, they left their nets and followed Him. Now think about that for a minute. You're just out here minding your own business. You're about your routine, whatever it is you do in life, and you're just kind of going through that. Maybe you're a lawyer, maybe you're a doctor, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom, maybe you're a salesperson, and you're just kind of going about your daily life, and all of a sudden, somebody walks by and says, "Hey, leave everything and follow me." Now, how many of you know that that would take a little bit of determination to do that? Right? I mean, you know, our first thought is, well, where's he going to take me? Right? I mean, that would be my first thought. He says, follow me, but where are we going? The next thought is how are we going to get there? He's walking. I don't know if I want to walk. Maybe I want a new donkey or, right? And if I don't get a donkey, you know, at least I want somebody to carry me. You know, what is it? You know, how are we going to get there? And then next is what's going to happen to my family? What's going to happen to my wife, my kids, all that kind of stuff? Because some of these guys were married that began to follow Jesus. And yet there was something about Jesus that was so enrapturing and encapsulating people's lives that they were willing at a moment that Jesus just said, come, follow me. And they said, man, that sounds like what we want to do. Now, let me say this to you. Jesus is still saying, come and follow me. He is still calling people today to come and follow me. In fact, he says it this way in the New Testament. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I don't know if there's any society that has ever needed that scripture more than this society. We live the most stressed out, stress-filled lives of any place that I've ever seen or can read about in history. And Jesus is just saying, come to me and I will give you rest. I'll bring peace into your life. I'll bring provision into your life. I will bring everything into your life that you need. Now today, we're going to talk about this aspect of believing. Now, what does it mean to believe? Why should I believe? Well, the word believe itself means to accept as true or real. It means to have confidence in the truth of something. In other words, that you believe in what something is. Now, how many of you know that people believe in a lot of stuff? Right? I mean, some people believe in Bigfoot. Some people believe in UFOs. Some people believe that Tennessee's going to... No, I can't go there. I started to say we're going to win a football game. But anyway, one of these days, we still believe, Lord, we still believe in Tennessee. All the Alabama fans. No, I'm kidding. Come on, I got to stop. I'm going to go to meddling here, all right? So it's that whole aspect there of believing. It's that whole part there of coming to that. And when we look at it in Scripture, a lot of times we go, well, why should I believe? Why is it important to believe? Does anybody need to believe? Is this just all some kind of psychodrama that's being lived out upon planet Earth? I mean, how many times have we been told, how can you believe? How can you pray to somebody you've never seen? How can you believe in a God that is abundant and above? And how can you believe? How can you do that? It really is a good question to ask, because what we have to come back to is that there comes a moment in all of our lives that we have to take a step of faith. Amen. Every person has to take a step of faith. You are either going to take a step of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to take a step of faith and believe that there is no Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Both of those take faith. I'll go real slow here. People say, well, I'm an atheist. Well, that takes faith. It takes faith to be an agnostic. It takes faith to be an atheist. It takes faith to believe. They say, well, you know, you can't prove you're God. Well, you can't prove I don't have a God. Well, show me. Well, you show me I don't. See, I mean, right? It's this cycle that we get into. Everybody believes in something. Either they believe in themselves, or they believe in a God, or they believe that we just showed up here, that, you know, one day there was an explosion that took place, and I know I'm being simplistic, so don't send me your scientific emails. I know I'm being real simplistic here. I'm willing to admit that, but there was a big bang, and there was an amoeba that developed into a tadpole, that the tadpole lost its tail and climbed out on land, and that tadpole developed a few thousand millions years, and it became a monkey with a tail, and that monkey lost its tail, and whoop, here we are. I mean, there's a whole lot of things losing their tails, all I can say. I mean, Lord, I'm trying to be good. I would much rather believe that there is a God who stepped out of nowhere into nothingness and said, "Let there be," and there was. I would much rather believe that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That God said, "Let the firmament and the waters depart." And they, all those things that God said time and time again, I would rather believe that God formed man out of the dust of the earth and he breathed into that man the breath of living life and man became a living soul. I would rather believe that than believe there was some explosion and here I am. Why? Because if I am just part of the evolutionary chain of events that have happened, then I am no better than the monkey or the dog or the cat or whatever. But yet, if I believe that God breathed into mankind the breath of living life, then I believe that I am created in the image and in the likeness of the Almighty God. And because of that, I believe humanity has a dignity and a calling upon it that nothing else of God's creation has. And when you denigrate God creating humanity, then you have stripped away from humanity any reason for us to treat each other any differently than we do animals. So there's got to be something that comes into our life today that says, I believe in God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. I stand with the Apostles' Creed. I stand with the creeds of the church that says, we believe in God. We've got to come to that place of doing that. We've got to come to that place of understanding that if we believe in God, I want to tell you, these men that Jesus called that day, they believed in him. They believed in him so much they were willing to leave everything to go and to follow him so that he would change their life and their future. Now, here's what I want to tell you today. Here's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. All right? That's what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to talk to you today about pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ. When you come to an understanding that Christianity is not about rules, it's not about regulations, it's not about joining a church, but it is about a relationship. I want to tell you, the reason that so many people struggle living for God is because they've never got past the legalism of the Word of God and got into a relationship with the Lord himself. Amen. Let me do it this way. How many of you know, how many of you are married or have been married? Just go ahead and hold your hand up, all right? How many of you had a I want to properly say this, Lord. How many of you took a little while of adjustment, let me just say it that way, to one another? Some of you going, I still am. I've been with them 29 years. I got it. All right. Now, wouldn't it have been, in one sense, and let me follow with me, wouldn't it have been wonderful if at the day that the justice of the peace or the pastor or whoever stood before you and pronounced you husband and wife, that he would say, now I've got a book for you. And in this book is every answer that you're ever going to need. Wouldn't that have been wonderful? Because I'd have been using it. I mean, that first year, I would have gone to pay. I'd looked in the index and says, what to do when she's crying. Oh, page 28. Man, I'm get down there. Oh, here's what you do when she cries. And you know what? What do you do when he won't pick up his clothes? Oh, that's on page 83. What do you do when he spends all his paycheck? Well, that's on page 99, 100, and 128. Now, that would be okay initially. But how many of you know after 10 years of marriage, if you still, all you're doing is reading the book, that there's something off. Now, I don't want to get in trouble. I'm going to try not to. But what I want to say to us this morning is this, is that a lot of us have stopped on the journey with the book and we've never entered into a relationship with the one who wrote the book. We've never come to that place where we have developed this relationship with Him so that He can speak to us. Yes, you ought to read the book. You ought to know what the manual says, but you've got to go beyond the legalism of the manual and get into a relationship with the God Almighty who wrote it so that you will understand how to live out this thing called Christianity. So what does the Word of God tell us? How does the Word of God say that I'm going to move into this relationship with Him and pursue this relationship with Him? Well, verse 19 there, first of all, he says follow, all right? In other words, he says to leave the old. I got to reading about repentance, and that's what I want to talk about for a minute. The word repentance, again, means a change of mind, a change of direction. But you know what? When you begin to read the New Testament, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist told people, he said, you need to bring forth fruit unto repentance. The book of Acts, the 26th chapter, and I think it's the 20th verse, talks about that we are going to, if we really get saved, that there is going to be a difference in our life once we get saved, once we repent. See, it's not enough just to say, well, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you'll be saved. And it does. And I tell you that almost weekly. But you know what? It doesn't just mean to say, I confess Jesus Christ is Lord. The Word of God, when it says confess there, it means to say the same thing that God says. You know what God says? God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. So all have sinned. If you sin, you're going to die. But the Word of God also says that Jesus Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him would be saved. But when I get saved, hang on a minute, when I get saved, it means I'm going to leave the old life and I'm going to move into the new life. The Apostle Paul says, such were some of you. You used to live that illicit lifestyle. You used to be this and you used to be that. But he said, now you've been washed. Now you've been redeemed. Now you've been set apart to the call of God. See, here's where we've got to come to the place in. When I'm going to pursue a relationship with Jesus Christ, it means I've got to forsake all others. Wow. Follow. They had to leave everything else behind to pursue Jesus. Well, I want to serve Jesus, but I want to still live the way I used to. I remember years ago, I may not get in too much trouble, I may get in a little trouble. I remember years ago when Jimmy Carter was our president. How many of you are old enough to remember that? Thank you. God bless you. Everything was born again back there, if you remember. Because Jimmy Carter had said, and he was a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher, he said he was born again, and the media just went crazy with born again. And so everybody was born again. Now, I was living in Memphis then, and I remember the headline of the commercial appeal one day said, born again stripper. And there was this stripper that was down at one of the clubs. Why y'all look at me like that? I didn't say I was down at the club. All right. She was propagating that she was born again, but she was still living that life. Well, I got a little trouble with that. Amen. Such were some of you. When the Lord calls us into salvation, the Lord calls us to leave the old and to move into the new. You say, Pastor, do you mean I got to be perfect? No. Does that mean you're not going to fall every once in a while? Yeah, the Bible says the righteous falls seven times, but arises again. You're going to get knocked down, but guess what? Get up again. Right? And so there's this understanding that if we're going to follow the Lord, that we leave the old, we come to that place of repentance, and we begin to go forward. But he goes on there, he says, follow me. He doesn't just say follow, he says follow me. In other words, he gives us a pattern that we are to live by. And that pattern is lived out. When you look at it in Scripture, it's lived out in baptism. Think about this. Jesus, the Word of God says, was God robed in flesh. He was God incarnate. Yet, Jesus shows up while John the Baptist is baptizing, and he said, I must needs be baptized of you. And John says, oh, no, you need to baptize me. And Jesus said, no, you need to do this so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. So Jesus gave us a pattern in how that you and I are to live life. And part of that is yes, I come in a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I want to take a moment here. The next thing that I need to do is that I need to come to that place of saying, God, now I'm going to follow you in baptism. I'm going to follow you in obedience to life. I will do what you have called me to do. Why would I not? I have people say, well, Pastor, do you believe that baptism saves you? No, I believe the blood of Jesus saves you. But I believe any place that you rebel, you get in trouble. And baptism is a process that we walk out as new believers. When I come to that place of confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, every time in Scripture that I see that, the very next thing that happens is they're baptized in water. So there's this pattern that Jesus Christ left us, not only in that, but in so many other areas of his life that he left us that you and I can follow. And thirdly, he says, follow me and I will make you. All right? I will make you. That word make there is a little, let me just give you the word to fill in because some of you are trying to get ahead of me. Impartation is what I'm talking about here. Okay? Impartation. That word make isn't like you do with your kids. Why are y'all doing that? I don't know what he's talking about. You tell your kids, go clean your room. 3 hours later, you go in. And it's worse than it was when they went in there. Guess what you do at that moment? What do? You make them clean up their room. That's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about is an enabling. When he says, I will make you, he is saying, I will give you the ability to be fishers of men. I will give you the ability by the power of the Holy Spirit to do what I am calling you to do. Here's what I want to tell you. God never calls you to do something that he does not enable you to live out. If he calls you to do something, he will do his best to enable you to live out this thing that he has called you to do. So he says, I will make. He says, I'll give you an impartation. We talk about the Holy Spirit being imparted. We spent the last 2 weeks on that. I'm not going to go there today. But there's this impartation of the Holy Spirit that is released into our lives. Now, why is this done? He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you fishers of what? Men, right? In other words, here's what he's saying. I'm going to give you your life's assignment. The reason that I need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I need to come into relationship with him, is because I am not going to find out what my life assignment, what my destiny is, until I am in relationship with the one who made me. Now think about this for a minute. How many of you know that the creator of something definitely knows how to use it better than the person who takes it? Right? There are many of us today, I don't have mine on me, I just finally upgraded. For all of you that have been wondering about Pastor, some of you will be thrilled. Pastor has upgraded from a 3G to a 6. I have entered in to a new day. The problem is, I don't have a clue on what to do with most of the stuff in that iPhone 6. I look at it, I rebuke it, I pray in the Spirit over it, and I still don't know what to do. But guess what? I've got a son-in-law that works for Apple. When I don't know what to do, I can just give it to Adam, and he can tell me what to do with it. Now, hang on for a second. There are times you don't know what to do. You don't know what your life is about. But if you'll just give it to somebody who created it and made it, put it into their hands, in that moment, God is able to take your life and to make it into everything that he wants it to be. Now, I want everybody listening to me today. I'm going to bring this down today. All right? In our lives, believing means three things, and I want you to get them. Number one is it means learning total dependence on God. Total dependence on God. You say, what does that mean? That means this. The scripture says, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. You can do nothing. Do you really believe that today? That's what it's not I'm there. This journey, we're starting the journey today. This journey doesn't mean that I've got it all figured out and it's all together. It means that I am in this moment and in this place where I am learning. We used to sing it, I am learning to lean on Jesus. Amen? Learning to lean on Jesus. Learning dependence on the Lord. That's what it means day in and day out of our life is learning to lean. Secondly, is getting godly priorities in my life. Getting the right things, getting the right priorities, getting my life in order with God. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. I've got to get to that place where I've got my life in right order, in right priorities. That I'm living it out day in and day out and saying, God, here's my life. You show me how I am to live. You guide me. You lead me into all truth. The scripture says when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. Now, I want to tell you what. This is not something you do once and it's over. Remember, I said all of us can go back and revisit the home place. This is one of those things that you have to revisit sometimes weekly, sometimes daily. God, I want your priorities. Because my priorities and God's priorities are not the same. Anybody ever do something and then realize that you shouldn't have done it? Six honest people. I was in a situation a while back. I made a decision. I don't know if anybody else does this. I make decisions. I don't have trouble making decisions. Some people do. I don't. Man, I can make decisions all day long. And I made a decision. And all of a sudden, everything blew up. And I thought it was a good decision. I mean, when I made the decision, it sounded right. It was, and it was right, I think. It got all messed up. It got all upside down. And the second Holy Ghost in my life, I y'all know what it's like. I don't mean that bad. I mean that good. All right. I'm driving down the road and I'm confessing to her how this thing is not doing good and it's a mess and all this stuff's happening. And she just said these few little words. She goes, did you pray about it? No. I didn't. Heck no, I didn't. No, I didn't pray about it. In fact, maybe mad she would ask me if I'd prayed about it. Why are you asking me if I prayed about this? Just leave me alone. Just go back over there and mind your own business, all right? I prayed about it. I had to go back and redo it. I had to go back and make everything right, fix it all. Why? Because God's priorities for that situation and my priorities were not the same. So I've got to have godly priorities. Lastly, and this one may sound a little interesting for some of you, but I believe it's true, is regular participation at weekend worship. I believe that part of being a believer is that you gather together with other believers. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Well, it's not important that I go and hang out with other believers at a church. Oh, yes, it is. Well, me and Jesus got our own thing going. That was a dumb song back in the 70s and still a dumb theology today. All right? I mean, no, you need, over 50 times in the New Testament, it talks about one another. It talks about exhorting one another. It talks about praying for one another. It talks about caring for one another. You have to be in relationship to have that happen. Listen, it's interesting to me. I want to, can I just talk a minute? Just a minute. Come on, can I get a minute? It's interesting to me how we can make out-of-town ball games. Well, pastor done gone to meddling now. We can take trips. We can do all kind of things. We can show up at everything that happens at school. Whew. This just anointing all over this right now. But when it comes to going to church, well, I see if I can fit that in my schedule. I mean, I was thinking today, you know, it's one of those rainy Sundays. Rainy days and Sundays always get me down. I know it's Monday, all right? I thought, I hope Jesus doesn't come on a rainy Sunday. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Isn't it interesting how many people talk about wanting to go and spend an eternity with Jesus and won't spend an hour on Sunday? I just think it's important. I think it's part of the process of living out what Jesus Christ has called us to live out. Believing. I have to have something to believe in that's greater than myself. If all I've got is me, I'm in trouble. But I've got a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And He loved me so much that in Genesis 3, God said, there's coming one who's going to crush the head of the serpent. And in Matthew, He shows up as the God who loved us and came to dwell among us so that He could draw us to Himself. So I don't know where you are in the journey today, but here's what I want to tell you. If you've never, ever believed, what about today? What about this moment? Wherever you are, whatever campus you're at, that you say, you know what? Today, I'm going to make a decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.